In the words of the legendary Lou Gehrelman, hello, dog fans, and welcome to the Sound the Siren podcast, because everything matters. I'm your host today, Big Hood, filling in for Hooligan tonight, and I'm joined by my partner in crime, the Darker Knight, also known as a Baker's Dozen tonight.
Come on.
How you doing, big dog?
Ready to get these donuts warmed up for the mind, you know what I'm saying? Feeling it's gonna be a lot of storm, gonna be a lot of energy. So hope they're back there cooking up something nice.
Hey man, I agree, man. I'm excited for, you know, all of us to link up tomorrow. Obviously excited for the game, excited for the, you know, the opponent that we get in December as well, after kind of seeing the results of the game today. So I'm super excited, man. You know, since I know both of our current circumstances, I'll skip the drink. I actually have, I do got water here, as you.
Come on, everybody, you know what it is.
Yes, sir. And, yeah, man, just straight on to Oregon State, man. I'll just say general thoughts, man. Like, what were you impressed by?
I mean, honestly, it was the composure of the team. It wasn't ideal circumstances with the weather and everything kind of going into it. And, I mean, nothing really going your way, it seems, at times. And, you know, guys with uncharacteristic drops because of, you know, just the circumstances. Like, I seen what we were trying to do. And on a clear day, I know the execution would have looked a lot better. But, you know, trying to get J-Mac more involved, you know, with him having a bigger workload, I seen the emphasis on trying to, you know, get him in space, trying to get JP in space. And there's actually a really, you know, for the most part, except a couple calls, I thought, you know, Grubb called a really great game. It's just the execution for what he was trying to call just fell short due to the weather. So it's just, I just wish it would have adjusted a little bit more, you know, stuck with the run. I know Dylan, I think in the first half, I think we averaged like 4.2 yards a carry, but even then, like, given Mike just manageable third down instead of just chucking the ball and taking the necessary shots would have helped a lot. But for the most part, I was, you know, just impressed with the team's resolve and just waiting to fight through everything.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. The character of this team has definitely, you know, been tested week in and week out. And for them to kind of answer the bell every single week just kind of goes to show something. There's not a lot of teams that, you know, I think kind of the TCU last year, I think we're very much better than TCU, but just the TCU, you know, they were able to beat a team like Michigan because they had had that resolve all year and knew how to win those close games and things like that. So speaking to the resolve, I definitely agree. What I was impressed by is I'll just say, you know, I'm going to obviously get to it later, but I was really impressed by the individual effort of Jabbar. Bro, we haven't had a DB, you know, perform like that since CP, since Jimmy Lake, you know what I'm saying? He was getting national attention. A lot of people in a whole bunch of the group chats I'm in were asking me about him, asking about his eligibility. Is he going to the draft? Or so he definitely made himself some money and definitely put himself on the map for sure. So, yeah, that's something that I personally was impressed by. And then, like you said, just the resolve. So, yeah, man, any kind of moving to the next thing, man. Any room for improvement?
Man, I mean, it's always room for improvement, right? I think the difference I see is we're wanting to start fast. I think that what Grubb is needing to do is just marry more of the run along with our tight end play with his play calling and see, like, what he's trying to do. And it's like, you know, I mean, like, you want to go to the well early and soon as you can, but a lot of shots and a lot of play calls he's calling is putting us in some tough, you know, either second and long or third and longs, because they're not setting up anything and they're not marrying to what's been successful over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Especially when you have an emerging running back like Dylan, who's, you know, I mean, he's made a name for himself and you can tell defenses are adjusting to him. And how the fronts are playing us and they're trying to slant and, you know, take away a lot of those running lanes is because they fear the run. So when you're calling those shots, and it's a play action fake, but you're not having that option for the running back to be, you know, available in the passing game, it takes that weapon out of it and you leave it with limited options. Like, there was a couple plays, especially on third down, where Essentially, we had two clear outs with an option run. We gave Mike basically a one-man read, which isn't setting them up for success, especially in those conditions. Like, I just like to see, grub, keep things easier for Mike, not necessarily go, dink and dunk like Knicks, but you see how, like, at least he's setting them up, like, get them in a rhythm, get the ball out your hands, let your playmakers make those plays. Don't just leave it up to Mike to make every difficult throw and play for you. You know what I mean? You got guys who could separate, who could make it easier on them. Like, give the ball to them in space. You got guys who can make, the others miss. You know what I mean? Like, we can make it a lot easier on ourselves and get up on these opponents and look as if we're playing down to them. We're just kind of changing our mindset, coming out to start the game. And then defensively, I just wish Ian and Jim Morrell would make the adjustments they typically make in the second half to start the game like that and attack offenses and not play on your heels and wait so much. You know what I mean? Like, we play so much better when we're attacking, and you can kind of see that permeate through even the secondary, where you see Jabbar's energy kind of, fed to EJ. I think that was EJ's best game, too.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
He played with a totally different confidence. He was contesting everything. He was coming up, wrapping up, tackling.
He was
like, short throws, talking, like, what I mean? Like, he wasn't doing against USC.
Agreed.
He was kind of tentative. But you see, how he could play, and you see it's a mindset thing. It's like, okay, you see a guy who's going to set the tone in the secondary that's going to permeate through the entire team, so. Just little things like that, allow the players to play freely and fast, aggressively. Allow them to come downhill. Even if you put your corners on, let them learn. Let them. You got the team speed.
And it's EJU throwing the ball, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
He's gonna be an accurate
passer.
Mm-hmm.
With smaller weapons, allow your guys to go out there on the island, just lock them up. Give them easy throws. Use completions, make them earn everything. I think if he has that mindset moving forward, we're going to be really successful.
Yeah, I think to your point, man, I think room for improvement is just consistency. Like, I don't think we've seen a complete game since Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm talking complete game from the players and the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like, there was a ridiculous amount of detail, orientation that went into last year, that went in this year in regards to the offense. Like, that was the expectation, is that, Grubb's going to be super detail-oriented. The offense is going to be detail-oriented. And it doesn't look like it. In the past game, we're having a shit ton of penalties when it comes to holds and things like that. You got a healthy group. Why are they holding? You know what I mean? These dudes aren't, I'm not going to say nervous, but these dudes aren't, they're next man up. Is going to be just fine. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we lack depth there. Play hard. You know what I mean? Play disciplined. And so my opinion, just for room for improvement, it's just like cleaning up the details on offense. If that's where you're going to, if that's why you're a CFP caliber team, where's that attention to detail that we saw earlier in the year, that we saw all last year, when you jumped on the scene with 11 wins? And then just kind of transitioning that to defense. Now, we've seen the same defense, for 20 plus games at this point. We kind of know it's a bend but don't break, for whatever reason, but or personnel, but the discipline on that side too. I think we're second in the country in penalties, man. I think Hooligan speaks to it every single week. Like, Jesus Christ, bro, you run the ball and it's a hold. You got 7 yards, but it's a hold. You pass the ball, you got a first down on or you got 7 yards on second down for a third and short. Oh no, boom, you got a 10-yard hole, and we just keep, shooting ourselves in the foot. And I will say, this game, we did get out early. This is the first game we got out early, and the defense played good early. But then the second half, the offense sputtered, and the defense sputtered. So it was just inconsistent.
Their first possession, they have a chance to get off the field, jumps off sides, extends the drive, and they're scoring. It's just a lot of things like
mm-hmm.
that. Concentration thing. It's like,
mm-hmm.
They're afraid of you getting in the backfield, so they're going to hard count you. You have to kind of go in with that mindset. You just look down the line at the ball. Look at the ball. See, the ball moves, you move. Just little things like that, just little tidbits that, not necessarily we're lacking, but just like attention to detail things that are biting us in the butt. Like, we shouldn't be penalized as often as we are, you know what I mean, for just, you know, execution errors over and over and over again. It's like, you know what I mean, like you would hope that by now, you know, someone has to go and just like, look, let's just stop it. We're saying us versus us, but we're literally our worst enemy.
And you're not exactly, and bro, and we're not playing, we're not even playing fast enough to have these penalties. We're coming up with controlled speed on offense and their controlled routes on offense and controlled speed on defense, you know, and controlled scheme on defense. It's not even like we're playing super fast. We're playing like relatively under control. So like, why are we having all these penalties? But just moving on, I'm going to do one and one, man. Who's the offensive player in a game and then a defensive player in a game?
Man, it's pretty, I mean, for me, offense is pretty easy. I'm definitely going. A long guy who was able to hold on to the passes that came his way. I mean, I gotta shout him out, even though it's no slight to JP and J Mac with the conditions being what they are and being a former receiver. I know it's not easy catching like that, especially when you're a pass catcher. You know what I mean? Your gloves fail you. You know what I mean, with that type of material. I get it. And those are catches I know. Times they make. So definitely wrong, just the confidence he gave him, like, and just winning his one-on-ones and being reliable as he's been, you know, throughout his career. But really this year, just kind of taking it to the next level, just being that option, really appreciate. And then defensively, I mean, Jabari being easy choice, but I'm going to say Braylon. Braylon was disruptive and caused.
Yeah, he was going crazy.
And caused, you know, some of the best linemen to look pretty average when you kind of apples. I think he improved his stuff a lot in this game just based on who he was going against and, you know, just the conditions, everything was going against him, but just a lot of his plays, one in particular when they tried to toss left, they tried to toss left to Damian Martinez, and instead of him, you know, trying to shoot it and, you know, just kind of beat the offensive tackle, you know, to the outside. He basically was patient, waited, used his hands, got underneath the offensive tackle. So basically, essentially gave up his gap, but had enough speed to get back outside and still make a tackle for us. That play alone is something you can teach it to, you know, at any level.
And that's something that he was really doing all year, this year and last year, you know, that the sideline kind of, especially when you take the inside. He wasn't showing that he could get out.
That was a different way to set the edge that not many defensive ends can do around the country. Mm-hmm. You notice defensive ends usually like to play the offensive tackles upfield shoulder and usually lock out. He literally got patient, waited, swam, got skinny, cut between the guard and the tackle, and still ended up making the tackles lost. That's smarts, that's film study, but that's just athleticism.
At 270. At 270, 275, so.
Sure.
I'll say offense, man. I'll go the whole position group. I'll say the offensive line. Mike, after the game, was like, he didn't get touched. He was like, man, I thank my offensive line, man. I ain't get touched all night. And, you know, granted, you know, Oregon State wasn't bringing, you know, too much to the table in regards to that. They didn't spam A and B gap blitzes. You know, they weren't super exotic on defense, but at the end of the day, we hadn't seen Mike that clean in a real long time. Just kind of unlucky circumstances in regards to the weather. So that kind of sucked. That was a game where, you know, we blow the doors off of them, I think, if the weather was in solid condition.
They're going to probably take this against me. Like, some conditions and everything we did, sanitizing that. Like, I hope they take into account competitions. It's not Jaden Daniels playing against Georgia State or, you know, next playing against an Arizona State team, we had the running back playing quarterback for 75% of the game. But I hope you actually pay attention, look at the games and see what's happening, you know, between the lines and really factor in, you know, who was deserving of this. I know a lot of that is, you know, a lot of people around the country who are waiting for us to lose. You know, they don't want us to lose.
Oh, facts.
Oh, yeah.
And almost you can see rooting for it too.
Misses are in. You can tell from the strength of schedules and like the top 25. This is such a good thing. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to Mike too, you know what I mean, for playing the way he did in those conditions. He was
In those conditions.
poised, showed his leadership in adverse circumstances, and made really smart decisions for the most part. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't play as if, he didn't play
Well,
as
he
if
was
it was downpour.
confident.
He was playing as if it was clear weather. You know,
He was still
feeling the receiver
confident.
slipping,
Exactly.
dropping passes, putting them right on the money. I mean, you cannot ask for better execution and precision. Was just the results weren't there because of the obvious barrier. I'm expecting him
The
to
weather.
finish game get to a bit.
And then the last thing I'll say is just defensively for me, man. It's hard to say anybody on defense had a great game with how their running game performed. But to your man, the guy that plays with his hair on fire, you know, I felt Carson Brunner, man. He really filled in well for Zota, where a lot of people felt like, you know, the leadership of Zota up and, you know, his communication ability. He's real demonstrative on the field, you know, with the calls and getting people into position. And you kind of saw Carson Brunner's ability to do so as well. I do think, you know, I was telling people this as well. I do think that he benefited from the team we were playing for sure. You know, if it was maybe a different style off, it might not have been the same type of game. But this was the perfect game to start him, where it's that boomer bust. You just, you know, attack downhill all game. Use your speed. Use your quickness. Use those instincts. And I think people also got a sneak peek into what we're gonna potentially get next year from him too.
Love
So,
Percy too. It's just
oh yeah.
his, he
And
just
before I,
doesn't hesitate. You know what I mean? Like, he trusts it. Like, you see, he trusts his
at
eyes. He
all.
just goes.
He gets there before guards, bro. He gets to spots before guards do. And we haven't seen that, I mean, since Eddie was healthy in 2019. You know. And then just before we get to Wazoo, man, some general thoughts, you know, on the CFP ranking. You know, we finally break into number four, but how you feel about being number
We're
four and
still
where to stay and
disrespected, man.
positioning?
Four is too low.
I agree.
Like, if you have by
I
far
agree.
the number one schedule in CFP, and it takes you to be the top 25 team for the fourth time in the year to get the fourth ranking. Like, that tells you everything you need to know about the system, like the rating. If you look at Michigan has played one ranked opponent all year. Why are they the number one, number two team in the country? Ohio State's played two. You look at just like, why? We're holding on to Notre Dame being good after, that 3-4 loss team. Like, you're holding on to that
And
for what?
they
And so you're seeing like how the committee is just, they're so biased because they're looking at teams like, say, in Georgia. Georgia ain't played nobody. But what they're doing is they're
Nobody.
keeping
But even if you
a
look at
lot of the mid-tier SEC teams ranked, so their strength of schedule looks a lot better as a conference. And so with a lot of,
Exactly. But then that doesn't transfer to Florida State though and LSU, which is weird because I think Florida State should be ranked
absolutely.
over Michigan. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got that LSU win, which is better than any win on, you know, Ohio State
Oh,
or Michigan's
absolutely.
resume.
And I know.
So
Well,
it's just
I'm
really it.
curious what happens is, so this is what, because this is my thoughts on it. Because Michigan and Ohio State obviously play tomorrow, so one's going to drop. How far they drop is going to be interesting.
It's based on the outcome of the game. If it's a
Because what
blowout,
they
then it's
don't want to
this is
do
close.
is, my whole thing is, what I'm thinking they don't want to rank Washington top two, which they should. Because if Washington then, worst case scenario were to lose to an Oregon, you're not dropping them two spots, or you're not dropping them three spots for sure. There's no way you can tell me an undefeated team who lost to the fifth ranked team also beat them in the year, you're gonna drop them completely out of the top four. And they're giving them an
They don't want to position us up there to fall to four. And they're
Oh,
positioning Bama, or
absolutely.
sorry,
And you
Georgia
can
for
see
that,
them
though.
potentially position in Bama
If they
to
lose
do the
the.
same thing too. If they happen to beat a Georgia.
Exactly. That's why Texas ran the score up. That's why Texas ran the score up
So
today.
you're starting to see that.
Like, and I keep telling people, like, and it's just blatant, bro, and it's unfortunate, but Yeah, I feel the same, bro. I feel like we should at least be at number two. I also feel like, I feel like they also don't want to have the disadvantage of having an SEC team. They can have a Big Ten team. They're used to coming out west and playing in the Rose Bowl, but I think they're going to do everything to position, an SEC team to play in the South,
Absolutely.
play in Atlanta, So disregarding the seeds, I think they're just going to play musical chairs to get the certain matchups at the certain bowl games. Because why have Bama or Georgia have to come all the way out to Pasadena and be basically in a neutral site road game? Like, they're not going to
They're
put
not
that
going to
SEC at
inconvenience
that
the
type of
SEC like.
disadvantage. They're not going to do that. Yeah, no, I mean, I'll say moving on, man, just to some, this is probably going to be the quickest segment. But just some general thoughts on what you see from Wazoo and how we gonna attack them. I say first, I'll just say keys to the game on offense and defense
Keys to the
potentially.
game, control Cam Ward, keep him in the pocket. He's dangerous when he's able to extend plays and guys are able to unglue and kind of come free down the field. He's not one to really play on time. Similar to Caleb, but he's going to take more chances than Caleb. He puts the ball in harm's way a lot, so he can be erratic. But he's a hell of a quarterback. You definitely have to make sure you have eyes on him. This is a game for not only the secondary, for I think the front four. I think you can get to him. The offensive line has allowed, I believe, the second and third most sacks in the conference this year. So you can get
Come
to
on.
them pretty easily with constant pressure and keeping the pressure on coming forward. If you take a page out of kind of what UCLA did, where they just suffocated them, you can do that easily to this offensive line. And I know they've been kind of banged up all year as well. So I do like Lincoln Victor a lot. That's one guy you do have to control. So I wouldn't be surprised if you've seen Jabbar more in the slot. Yeah, kind of similar to the adjustment we made, previously in previous games. So just taking away taking away his safety
It's like a
valves,
USP.
kind of keeping the ball in his hand, having to pat the ball. He's going to give the ball to you whether he fumbles, which he does a lot, or he's going to throw an interception, which he does pretty frequently as well. And staying glued on the back end. That's kind of our keys to, defensively, offensively. Believe they get Wade back this week, but still continue to be aggressive. They're successful. They are successful at a lot of tackles for loss. So just ensuring that we're running downhill and not lateral, because they do have decent team speed, especially from their safeties. But their safeties
That's a
do
great
struggle
call.
in coverage. So if you can isolate their safeties, I do think this could be a big game for our tight ends and or J-Mac in the slot. Just being able to stretch them vertically, because what they don't like to do is run vertically. They like to play downhill. So if you get them to turn and run, think it opens up a lot, especially in the middle of the field where you can feast. And I think that's what Grab is kind of seeing on film, where a lot of teams have been hurting them. If you look back at the Oregon State game early in the year when they were getting this praise as a really good defense, but Oregon State was able to make that run in the second half as they were eating them alive in the middle of the field. And I believe that's their weakness, and a lot of teams just didn't take advantage of that. So don't really fear the pass rush. They have decent defensive ends, which I do respect, but I think, we can have our way, and I think we will. I think this should be and will be our most dominant performance of the year, with the momentum heading to the Pac-12 championship. So yeah, that's kind of my feelings on it.
I think your last statement, just, we need some offensive momentum for sure, and some offensive confidence for sure. With Dylan in a boot, this week, you're gonna have, Will Nixon, Tybo ready and available. And then I don't know if Sam suited up. He's suited up sometimes, not suited up other times. So without Dylan, Ryan Grubb spams the pass. So now, or sorry, with Dylan, Ryan Grubb spams the pass. So I can't imagine, what he's going to do when he has Nixon and Tybo as his primary running backs. I think this is going to have to be a huge execution game. A lot of the offense that we've seen throughout the year, I kind of want to see like a summation of it. So a lot of the way we weaponized Jeremy versus Arizona, a lot of the ways we weaponized Jalen versus Boise State, Tulsa, Michigan State, and then just on the perimeter, a lot of the ways we've, you know, given 50-50 opportunities to Polk and Rome, or have had or allowed them to take big posts, things like that from the middle of the field. So I just say just a summation of the passing game, all the kind of cool wrinkles that you've incorporated all year, I would just throw them all at Wazoo, especially if you don't have your lead running back fully healthy, and you probably want him healthy in 2 weeks. I would say I am curious to see how these two running backs will probably shoulder the load for sure. So that's going to be exciting. But and then on defense, man, I would say play the ball. You know, Cam's gonna definitely throw the ball in harm's way. I mean, even if it's not in harm's way, it's going to be a lot of 50-50 opportunities. You got Kyle Williams and Josh Kelly on the outside, two 50-50 kind of guys, two kind of nuanced route runners. So with that, you, to your point, Jabbar's probably going to be in the slot, you know, following Lincoln around, or at least on his side. You're going to have Thad and EJ out there, I would assume, you know, two bigger kind of corners that get your hands on receivers versus two big receivers that are nuanced route runners. So I think that's going to be the matchup for me, watching their top three receivers go up against our top three corners. And just playing the ball, you know, this we're tired of these PIs and all this kind of stuff. I'm tired of seeing it, man. I'm so tired of seeing it. Turn around, play the ball, get some turnovers. The ball's going to be in harm's way. And then in regards to playing the ball, the front seven as well, you know, play the ball. When you're rushing the passer and you get close to him, that's something Braylon hasn't really, you know, done this year. When he does get to the quarterback, you know, he always goes for the hard form tackle, form hit, goes full speed, sometimes overruns it.
Yeah.
Play the ball. That's one thing ZTF's really good at, is playing the ball. So turnovers, if that ball is loose out there, get that ball out. All right, man. Transitioning into, if you can predict it, you know, obviously, if you could name a player or players on offense and defense that you feel like are going to stand out this game.
Yeah, man. I think my standout players, I think Mike's going to have Heisman-type performance. So, I see Washington State maybe giving too much attention to Rome, so I definitely see things opening up for Jalen. I think Polk and Matt. They're going to have really good, really big games as well, because you can't really double team any one of those receivers, especially we're expecting clear weather tomorrow, God willing. So, you know, you're going to see some fireworks with it being senior day and everything going into it. I just think Wazoo's coming into a hornet's nest. So it's going to be a –
it's going to be a – I completely agree with that.
And stadium. So, yeah, offensively, I think I'll just give it to Polk, because I'm sure he wants redemption after having that four drop game against Oregon State where he doesn't drop anything. Yep. And I know he's liking the bounce back, and he got a bad taste in his mouth, so you ain't got to worry about nobody coming out flat and motivated. Like, you're going to get the best of the best. Knowing, especially us knowing now, like, okay, we know who we're playing next week. Let's make a statement now, send a statement to the nation that, you know, oh, you want to rank us 4-2? Okay. You know, feel slighted. Feel that disrespect. Understand all that.
Yep.
You know, it's all, you know, we want all the smoke. It's all personal on this side. So, defensively, man, it's hard to go against the constant. I'm going to say, I want to say Jabbar, but I'm going to go ZTF. I think this is a ZTF.
Yeah, that's just that constant. Really
he's that annoying,
type of game.
Just that Gumby flag type of bendy annoyance that he can be. Just knows how to attack the ball, create turnovers, those hustle plays. I just think he's just gonna he's gonna impact the game, especially coming off that left side. That's really gonna. I mean, he's coming off Cam Ward's blind side, so. I just see him wreaking havoc. And along with him, you know, my dark horse is Void. But yeah, I see both of them really, really having big games tomorrow. So that's what I would go with.
Yeah, man, I haven't picked either one of these two, I think, all season, but I think it's about time. You know, I think on offense, I'm gonna pick Mike. I think, you know, he's due for a game, and I think with having Dylan, you know, not, I wouldn't say 100% healthy, even if he suits up, you know, I doubt Ryan's gonna go to him, you know, heavy and often, lean on him heavy and often, even though Wazoo's run defense isn't great. I think he's going to trust this offensive line, and they are going to fling the ball out all over the place, from left to right to right to left. So I think this is a game where Mike gets at least 400, you know what I'm saying, between 3 to 5 TDs and maybe even more. I think they're really going to try to make a statement on offense, run it up, and like I said, just get detail oriented. This is a game to kind of, like I said, throw a summation of the offense throughout the passing offense throughout the whole year. Throw this at Wazoo. You know, you're not hiding nothing for Oregon. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to hide nothing from them because we're gonna go mano-a-mano, good on good anyway. So let that bitch fly. Pardon my language. Let that mug fly. And then defense, you know, I haven't picked
Come
this
on.
stud all year, I believe. And I gotta go Braylon Trice, man. You know, you picked one side, I'm gonna pick the other. I'm gonna challenge him. You know what I'm saying? He, you know, Caleb was putting everybody in a blender. So we got that opportunity to see that. And now I'm going to say, you know, they're going to be a little bit more disciplined in their rushes, obviously, like to Voy and ZTF to those points too. I doubt we see maybe Tule this game, just maybe save him for Oregon. So I'll say dark horse on the interior. Like you say Voy, I'm going to go Javon, you know, cause he's extremely disruptive, and it's super crazy to watch how, you know, he uses his quickness to beat a lot of the interior offensive linemen early, you know, and he hasn't really gotten to the quarterback too much, but he definitely is responsible for some hurries and some pressures when he does get reps. So I think he grades out now as the highest interior defense alignment on our team at the moment. So yeah, definitely I'd say on defense, Braylon the obvious, but then
Mr.
Javon, I would
Parker?
love to
Mr.
see
Parker?
have a game. Miss Park, and all right, man. To get to these, looking around the conference a little bit. This would be, you know, we're getting the predictions real quick. All right, man. So I got Colorado versus Utah. Utah's a 20.5 point favorite, over under 46.5. Who do you got in that game?
I'm gonna take over just because Colorado can't stop nobody. I don't see them. I just see Utah. I don't think it's gonna be a lot over that. I think it's gonna be very one-sided. Is this game played in Utah or in Colorado?
Oh, that's a
Either
great
way,
point. I do
Utah
not know. I'd have to
travels
look
to
that up.
Colorado. So I'm gonna say,
He's in either.
yeah, it's a game where they could just run the ball down Colorado's throat. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
It's
they're
at
doing the whole
Utah.
thing.
Oh boy. Bro, it's a
Take
20
Utah.
and a half spread, dog. That's crazy. Yeah, I think they win by three possessions or more. I definitely think they get the they so they I think they cover, and I do think they get over
I think it'll
46
be
and a
like
half combined. I think
41-13.
Colorado's gonna score a little bit, but
Where it's just, and it's more like their
yeah,
defense
I
scores
agree.
maybe
Something
once or
like that.
twice.
41-13.
It's a momentum thing. Because Colorado's, one thing they've proven, they cannot stop you running the ball. So, you take them one of the more physical teams in the conference at home, pissed off. Yeah, no, that's going to be a, they might be sending Colorado this conference limit. It won't
They,
matter.
I think Utah is starting like their
Shoestring,
fifth
fifth
string
string,
quarterback, so that's gonna
spaghetti
be
string,
interesting.
it don't matter. All love.
Shoestring, fifth string, string cheese, all this. All right, next game is at Arizona State. So it's Arizona at Arizona State. Arizona is a 12-point favorite, over under 50.5. I got Arizona in that, and I got Arizona covering 50.5. I don't know. I think it'll be under that majority
Yeah,
of
I
points
just
scored by
don't. I
Arizona. I don't
don't
think
see
Arizona State's
Arizona
scoring a
State
lot.
mustering points. Like, they played even decent teams that they just can't score. So, yeah.
Bro, they're gimmicky
Yeah.
offenses. You tight end
And I
at
just think
quarterback, running back at
I see
quarterback,
Arizona getting
receiver.
into a fast
They
start
don't have the
making
players,
Arizona
bro.
State one-dimensional. And they
the game just getting sideways.
I think they, because the rivalry game, I can see it, you know, being close-ish, you know, for a quarter, quarter and a half. But I think Arizona covers easily, and I see this more as like a, I can see this easy as like a 40 to 17 type of game.
That's what's crazy to me is thinking like they expect Utah to beat Colorado by more than Arizona beats Arizona State. Like, that's pretty interesting, but yeah, I think Arizona State puts them paws on them boys. Moving to the next one, I got Cal versus UCLA. UCLA is a 9-point favorite, over under 51.5. Ooh. And it's at Cal, or sorry, at UCLA. So it's in LA or in Pasadena.
I think, right. Cal has everything in place
Cal's
for UCLA.
Cal's bowl eligible. So this is their bowl eligible game.
I mean, they look decent against USC, and what I do think is, I don't know if Cal's going to be able to block them boys up front. That's the only thing I fear. Where it's just,
who can, bro?
You know, it's going to be tough for them to muster any sort of just cohesion offensively unless they're just running the ball. Then if they can run the ball down UCLA's throat, allow play action to slow down the pass rush, it's going to be a long game. They can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The Springs, the draw balls, game is going to be very important.
Let those you can't up, do that. It's going to be a long game.
It's going to be a wrap. And it may be a long game, but UCLA don't, you know, their points ain't long. So, their points ain't long. So, I definitely think, you know, I think 9 points is about right. I actually will say they don't cover. I think it's like a, either like a 4 to 7 point game.
There's going to be defensive.
Because I do have a lot of respect for Cal this year and this, how their offense can. I agree. I got. Oof, I'll go Cal, man. I'm going to go Cal in this one, bro. Too. Get bowl eligible.
I can definitely see Cal pulling us off. I mean, Justin Wilcox, he may not have all the tools in the toolbox as far as talent, but he can damn sure scheme up a competitive defense in these type of games.
Mm-hmm. Get the best out of his guys. And then before we get to our game, bro, I'll say this is going to be one of the blowouts of the week. It seems like Stanford versus Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 25.5 point favorite. Over under 49. That's a tale of
which Notre Dame team is going to show up.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's at Stanford, yeah, so it's on that grass. Doesn't Notre Dame play on the grass too, though? Mm-hmm. And Stanford be sneaking up on people, bro.
I think Stanford could do enough to keep it close, but I just think Notre Dame is just too much. I think they, I think Stanford covers. I think Stanford covers. That's a lot.
I agree. That 25.5 is crazy. Notre Dame won't even score 25 points. Yeah, Notre Dame ain't even going
to. Right.
Like, Notre Dame gonna score 26 points. Like,
walk all over.
If Stanford scores one touchdown, I doubt like that. That's good to cover.
No score like that. I mean, if you can control Estime, the running game, and control where they can't play action, I think Stanford would be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them losing like that. I'm not putting Notre Dame up there. You know, just a team.
I agree.
Scheme those central points like.
All right, man. Now on to it's the main event.
The Baker's Dozen.
Oh, the pressure cooker. The Baker's Dozen. Eating our veggies and our fruits. You know, we're going to have some apples tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And washing down with some Rainier and PBR. Washington versus Washington State. It's a spreads 15.5 over under 66.5. They just disrespect our defense. I get it though. But yeah, they covering that. I definitely think we cover spread, bro. I think we beat them by at least, you know, three possessions, so probably 17. at least.
This is going to be the statement game. Yeah, shoot me a final score, bro. Cooperated. I think they make an example out of Washington State. Your little birdie was telling me the first thing they did after that Oregon State game, they put on Selma, Washington State, they showed Jaden Delore planting the flag in Husky Stadium. Just in case you forgot. And that set the tone for the entire week, and I heard it was the most physical practice of the entire season. So I'm expecting a lot of domination and execution. Yes, Washington State's fighting for bowl eligibility, but I think we're fighting for not only pride, we want to set the tone, but for ourselves, we want to, you know, regain who we were, you know, when we were old and healthy, and put the nation on notice. Don't forget, this is the same Washington team that was putting up 40-plus points at halftime at games. Like, don't think just because, oh, that team just went away. Like, no. Yep. Like, you allowed them to, you got your full complement of players, you allowed them to open up the playbook now, play a little more freely. Like, don't worry, you're going to see. Like, you've seen a lot of – you've seen teams get hot at certain times. Like, just wait. You want to be hitting and all cylinders at the right time. You got a team. We're playing at home. Obviously, it's senior day. It's going to be emotional. It's a rivalry game. You got all that stuff going. You know what's on. But at the same time, you know you haven't put everything all together, and yet you still found a way to win. So deep down, you already know coming into the stadium what's possible and what you can do based on your circumstances. Just imagine if you're able to put all that together.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and this is a week to get in the rhythm with Jalen, you know what I'm saying? A week to get in the rhythm with the backup running backs, you know, really, really see flashes of Will, really see flashes of Tybo for the five carries that they're going to split. but yeah, I just think this is going to be, you know, we haven't had, and a lot of people discredit it, but you know, they were talking, the national media was like, oh, you have to account for Brock Bowers being out, and that's why we're valuing this, and that's why we're valuing that. You have to account for Jim Harbaugh being out, so we're valuing this. We're not getting that same treatment when it comes to Jalen McMillan. You see how the whole offense adjusted and changed as soon as Jalen went down, and we're not getting that same benefit of the doubt. And now you got Jalen who, you know, you got first opinion, second opinion, third, fourth, and fifth opinion, and they've all told you that you're healthy. You know, I saw him make a cut. I saw him making cuts in Oregon State that were old school cuts. You know what I'm saying? So getting out there, especially in a game where you're probably going to put up at least 40 to 45 pass attempts, getting Jalen that ball early and often. You know, Utah was going to be a Dylan Morris game. I definitely feel like this is going to be a Dylan Morris, Austin Mack type of a game for sure. Final score, man.
I believe this game is basically over by halftime. I think it could carry into the third quarter by the time, you know, beginning of the fourth where we start to put Demo in. I just think that's just the mindset of the team. It's not even hoping and wishing. And I just think they, the team and whole field disrespected. So you're gonna see a bludgeoning, man. I got the final score. I got Mike going six touchdowns. I'm gonna say five through the air, one on the ground. I got the dogs winning big at home. I'm gonna say I'm gonna say 59-24.
Hey man, I was going 50 burger too, bro. I was definitely going 50 burger. I'm with you, man. I think everything we score is going to be touchdowns, so I'll get 56. So I got 56-27. I definitely think that, you know, they're going to score on offense maybe late in the game, so similar to the Cal game flow. But you got a little bit, yeah, some better skilled players on the outside. So I definitely think they get some, whether it's super early and it's contested and we pull away in the second half, or whether it's, you know, the opposite. So yeah, I definitely feel like it's going to be a sizable gap in this one. And we just make a statement, you know, to ourselves and to our fans more than it's necessary to the country. You know, like, hey, this is what this team was to begin the year. Now we got, you know, all the bullets in this gun. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to let that bad boy spray. That's right, man. Any other general thoughts?
Catching the game with the sound of silence. We're going to have a good time. I just want to see a dominant effort. I want to put the nation on notice as if we haven't already. It seems like everybody's been waiting for, you know, sizable kind of decisive win, and I think we don't give them that answer no more.
I agree, man. We might even throw a live, you know, do like a live stream or something like that. Since all the pod folks are together, we might do one at a tailgate, or we might do one in the middle of the game, you know, just to say what's up to y'all. So if we ask y'all to tap in, say what's good with us or to us. If you see us around, say what's up. Man. Go Dawgs.
You can support this podcast at podcasters.spotify.com/pod/show/soundthesirenpod.uw/support. Thanks. Go Dawgs.